This is the Buzz Adams Morning Show podcast. Barstool Talk Daily. Except it's really early in the morning and no booze. For the most part.
The Buzz Adams Morning Show podcast is brought to you by Lindio. Discover a new world of small business loans and a new way to finance. What's next right now at Lindio.com. So, do you remember last year Starbucks released a red cup for the holidays and everybody?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people complained that it just wasn't Christmassy enough.
Yes.
So silly.
In fact,
we did a song about it.
We did.
Yeah, we did.
Red Starbucks cup.
Red Starbucks cup.
And last I checked, red was like one of the main Christmas colors.
Yeah,
but
it is.
I guess people who wanted to think that it was some kind of assault on Christmas decided, you know, red is also the color of Satan. Starbucks is releasing 13 super, super over-the-top festive Christmas cups this year.
There you go.
In response to last year's controversy.
See, but I wouldn't even they're not Christmas cups, though, that they're releasing. They're just holiday cups. Like the green version that they're doing right now, It's one line. It's done by an artist, and it's actually made with actually one single line, but it's made to make a bunch of different people together on the cup. And then the red cups, what they did, this is actually pretty cool, is it's art done by actual Starbucks customers. So they sent in pictures of what they've decorated the cups as. And so whatever they decorated as, they picked, like, I think 10 cups from 10 different actual Starbucks patrons, and that's what they're releasing for the cups this year.
All right, let me take a look here.
Yeah, those are all drawn by actual Starbucks customers.
I don't know. They look super Christmassy to me.
They do.
I mean, they look.
They look like the cutout snowflakes you did in elementary school.
They look very, very over the top Christmassy.
Well, yeah, but those are actually done by Starbucks customers. So they went ahead. I think there was like a voting process. So people picked which ones they liked the best.
13 different holiday cups this year. They're covered in.
I don't see no manger scenes.
Well, I don't see no baby Jesus up in there. I see that naked mermaid with her cha-cha's out.
That's right.
So here, I'm reading an article here about McDonald's soda, and it's stating as if it's a well-known fact that McDonald's soda tastes better than soda from other fast food restaurants. Is that a thing that we all know is true?
I'd never heard that before.
I think Coca-Cola tastes better.
See?
But the actual, just that one soda, I don't know how I feel about the rest of them.
McDonald's,
have you tried all the rest of them?
It says here, and it states it flatly as a matter of fact that McDonald's soda is known for tasting better than soda from anywhere else.
That's the first I've ever heard of that. But why?
It's not, as a lot of people would assume, because they dump a lot of extra sugar in it.
I was like, let's go ahead and do the legwork.
Right.
It turns out that the McDonald's has an answer for why their soda tastes so much better. Number one, they say they keep their machines, their syrups, and the soda water ice cold.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's different.
Other places have the syrup and machines at room temperature.
Yeah. When I was a server at a restaurant, all the syrup boxes are just in the back in a corner. And you just have them back there.
Yeah, okay.
Apparently McDonald's keeps things extra frosty and cold.
Okay. Ooh. Probably extra fresh as well, I would imagine.
Number two, they use special machines that are constantly recirculating the soda water to keep it the perfect temperature.
Wow.
Make sure that there's the right level of, that carbonation is spread evenly throughout the soda.
Well, how about that?
I don't think I'd even noticed. It's like, oh my God, McDonald's has such good soda.
Well, there's some, you notice when it's bad, when it doesn't work. Did you get a little piece of food on your mic there?
I bet. It's still on.
I came in here the other day.
Ew.
And somebody's actually cleaned that thing since I came in and talked to you about it. Just this layer. I'm surprised. Ew. I'm surprised this voice, because we have these spit shields, right?
All right, that's enough.
These spit shields are on over the microphones.
Yeah, they're doing their job.
I'm surprised that Buzz did not sound like this before somebody cleaned the spit shield. It was caked.
Okay, back to the important issue.
Oh.
Gross. Yeah, and then every time I'm doing production, Duke's like, hey, just go use Buzz's studio. I'm like, have you seen the mic? I'm like, I'm not touching that studio.
Yeah,
I just want to point out, it's perfectly clean.
Perfectly clean.
Fine.
Somebody did that.
You guys are nuts.
Janitor deserves a raise.
Says that McDonald's, no, the janitors don't do this. The janitors don't take care of this.
No, they don't.
The little,
they don't touch the equipment.
The little elderly man that works, he's the cutest thing ever, and he always goes, that guy over there, man, he's messy.
Over here, where I sit?
Talking about you, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, he is, though.
Genius can be a messy process.
But I know, I never knew that about the soda water.
They invest in expensive water filtration systems.
What?
So dude, that the water doesn't affect the taste of the soda.
I had no idea they put so much thought into this.
McDonald's really goes the extra mile, I suppose.
Well, to make sure everything tastes the same. I think that's probably what they do it too. Is that you don't have to worry if you're in Detroit or in El Paso and the tap water is different in the two areas. So the filtration, I guess, makes it.
Now, the fourth one sounds made up, but I mean, the first three, I guess that makes sense. The fourth one sounds like it's something somebody made up.
What?
McDonald's says their giant, extra-wide straws give you bigger sips so you can, quote, the taste can hit all of your taste buds, according to McDonald's.
Mm. Okay. McDonald's has larger than average straws. Yes, I have noticed that.
I was going to say, I'm like, I have noticed that they do have bigger straws.
Yeah.
Oh. So,
that's all thought out. Who knew? You know, I've always
that's
thought
so
that
funny.
When it comes to like ice, Sonic ice is the best.
That like little, fast food little ice.
Like their little cylinder crew.
Yeah,
like,
they're soft. When you chew, I chew ice. I do it. That's just the thing I do.
Me too.
Sinusitis frustration. The psychologists say.
Really?
And that's what they say.
I'll agree with that.
Okay.
No, but it is the best ice when you have the little crushed ball ice.
Yes.
It's so good.
It is.
And like when you see that at a restaurant,
put some thought
like,
into that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Sonic has some good stuff there.
All right, let's go ahead and do the Mo Show calendar and the Daily Almanac of events. Today is Veterans Day. First of all, happy Veterans Day. To all the veterans out there, U.S. Post Office closed. Most banks, right? Closed?
Yes. Yes. Banks and credit unions.
Oh.
Today is Remembrance Day in Canada, and it's the same. It's their Veterans Day.
It's Armistice Day, correct? Day. From World War One.
Well, yeah, that's where it all got its start. You know what? We'll go back and we'll talk a little bit more about Veterans Day. I got some Veterans Day facts.
Cool. Okay.
Today is Origami Day. Now, which is origami? Is that where you make little swans out of paper and stuff?
Yes.
Okay. Such a cool skill to have.
It is incredibly precise. Mm.
Birthdays today include Mark Sanchez, who's now with who? The Eagles? The quarterback Mark Sanchez is now with the Eagles? Is that right? 30 years old today, quarterback. Mark Sanchez, who used to be with the Jets, and we believe now he might be with the Eagles. So Mark Sanchez is 30. Leonardo DiCaprio, now an Academy Award winner. Leonardo DiCaprio is 42 today. You a DiCaprio fan?
Oh, no. he does very well. Mark Sanchez... Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
No,
I was thinking.
Was with Philadelphia,
didn't
but no.
Didn't I see
Mark
Sanchez on the sideline last week?
You did.
Yeah.
You absolutely did.
I feel like we got yelled at right now, but like through listeners.
Right. Now. It was the Cowboys.
Right. And I thought that, but do you see the calendar that we get sent? It says that he's with the Eagles now, but that's
what the heck, right. Man. Yeah, I see it.
Carson Kressley, who's like, do you remember Queer Eye
for the straight
guy? Yes.
Yeah. He was like the most gay, I think, out of all of them. But
The blonde guy?
He's 47 today. Actress Calista Flockhart is 52. She and Harrison Ford are, what, are they married or just like a couple?
They ever got married.
Demi Moore is having a birthday. She's 54.
Wow.
And actor Stanley Tucci is 56. He...
Ha, gird your loins.
He won an Academy Award.
Oh, that's the 75th Annual Hunger Games!
He is Caesar Flickerman. That's not... I don't think that's what he won the Academy Award.
Probably
no,
not.
No, I don't think
something else. he's a very versatile actor. Probably a lot of people don't know that he's Caesar Flickerman, so the guy with like the blue hair that interviews all the Hunger Game contestants.
Right.
He's Dr. Erskine, who gives Captain America the super soldier formula.
That's right.
Devil Wears Prada. He plays the one of the editors at the magazine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Golfer Fuzzy Zeller is 65. Is he the one who made the comments about Tiger Woods, the fried chicken, after Tiger Woods won the Masters?
Yep.
He made, right, that was Fuzzy Zeller.
Because you get to pick the menu, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. So Fuzzy Zeller is the guy who made the
fried chicken. Yeah.
Whoops. He should have been making jokes about Tiger Woods banging every whore he could get his hands on. Let's check TV listings for tonight for the weekend, too.
TV Tonight. Tonight on CBS, you've got all new episodes of MacGyver, Hawaii Five-O, followed by Blue Bloods. ABC has all new episodes of Last Man Standing and Dr. Ken. Fox has all new Hell's Kitchen and The Exorcist. Tonight is also the CONCACAF 2018 World Cup qualifying soccer game.
What? The CONCACAF?
I believe that we will win.
It has U.S. against Mexico.
Really?
What is she saying back there?
The CONCACAF is the region they play in.
CONCACAF,
it's Caribbean, North American, Caribbean, Central America. It's all they put together in a
all
in
that
a,
great stuff.
Yeah,
Mexico stands for something.
Mexico got some bad news from America earlier this week.
Let's hope it continues tonight.
Yes.
Columbus, Ohio.
On Saturday.
Come on, America, let's build that wall around our goal.
That's right.
Well, on Saturday, you can catch Dave Chappelle hosting Saturday Night Live with A Tribe Called Quest is performing. Sunday Night Football has the New England Patriots hosting the Seattle Seahawks. And, of course, on Sunday, AMC has an all-new The Walking Dead.
TV Tonight.
I need to catch up.
How behind are you?
I've not seen last week's.
You saw the season premiere?
I've seen everything up to last week.
Okay, you just didn't see last week.
I did not see last week. I was doing hockey, so,
Not playing hockey.
Not playing hockey.
Broadcasting hockey.
Yes.
And today is Veterans Day. As we mentioned, Veterans Day first came to be in 1918 when World War I ended. It was known as the War to End All Wars. It turned out not to be.
No.
But originally known as Armistice Day. And then when we figured out, guess what? We're still going to have more wars. They kind of morphed it into that. Well, you know what? Instead of me talking about it, here's a little explanation of what's going on.
Today is Veterans Day, or Armistice Day, because it commemorates Germany signing the Armistice Agreement to end World War I on November 11th, 1918. In fact, the expression, the 11th hour, comes from the time the surrender was signed. As you observe this holiday, you'll notice that banks are closed. Yes, our veterans gave their all for freedom so that bankers, who charged us fees, foreclosed our homes, and crashed our economy, can have a day off. So don't wait till the 11th hour. Celebrate Veterans Day with a salute for soldiers and a finger for bankers. Thank you.
You're listening to the Buzz Adams Morning Show Podcast.
Morning is the news.
Woo!
And all of it is good.
Wow!
And the weather's good.
Whammy, blammy, wowie, zowie.
This is Smoky Friday.
All right, time for news headlines and doing the news for us and doing a fine job filling in on the news. Here's Lisa Sanchez once again. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. You're so sweet. Police in Portland, Oregon are using pepper spray against rioting protesters. Authorities say
you know who's in Portland right now?
Who?
Brandon. Brandon, who's going to
Joining
Oregon.
In or what?
Yeah, maybe joining in, pepper spraying him.
You should text him and be like, get video. Yeah. It's great blog content. Authorities say they arrested more than 24 people after an estimated 4,000 people gathered to demonstrate against Donald Trump's victory in the presidential race. Police ordered protesters to disperse after the peaceful demonstration turned into a riot. The interesting thing is, so yesterday, apparently, Donald Trump was tweeting out, his Twitter's back, and he was saying that it was staged and they were paid protesters out there. last night. And then this morning on the news, they were just saying how he was congratulating like the protesters, like, wow, you're doing like out there freedom of speech. It's like, so he had his access for 3 hours and they took it away again.
Well, you know what they determined during the election was that some Donald Trump tweets come from his team and then some Donald Trump tweets are actually him, and that the cuckoo ones are him. And I forgot how they figured out, like, if it was sent from an iPhone, it was one or the other, and they paired it up and they said, well, it just so happens that all the ones sent from the, and I don't know which it was, but let's say it was the iPhone. They said all the ones from the iPhone are nuts. They're just like,
so those are
those are his. And the other ones, that anything that seems conciliatory or, you know, of a respectable kind nature, you're right, those are the ones that are coming from
his staff,
his people, right? But I mean, they really made a good case for, you could see like the ones that came from this one, whatever the source was, were completely of a different tone.
Because Twitter will say it's from iPhone or Android or something like that.
Right.
But yeah, I was like, what is it? The guy from the cartel, his son was in Costa Rica and he didn't realize his Twitter said exactly where he was.
And that's how they helped catch El Chapo.
Yeah. Oh, well, a man who helped write some of the most controversial immigration laws in the country will be joining President-elect Donald Trump's policy transition team. Kansas Secretary of State Kris Kobach said yesterday he plans to help Trump reverse President Obama's immigration policies. People in Cincinnati are on edge while waiting for the verdict in the murder trial of a white former police officer. Jurors were unable to reach a verdict yesterday and were sequestered for a second night. Former University of Cincinnati police officer Ray Tensing is accused of shooting and killing an African-American man during a traffic stop last year. Leonard Cohen died yesterday at the age of 82.
Oh, do you want me to play that?
Yeah. Is it not on there?
It is not.
Oh, my bad.
I can get it for you here in just a second.
You want me to do it for you?
No, I got it.
He was a legend as a songwriter, though he never became very famous as a performer. His song, Hallelujah, I didn't know he wrote this song.
Oh,
but everyone's covered it.
The most famous is the Jeff Buckley version. But, yeah, he's written a lot of songs that were covered, like more famous versions of some of his songs.
That's crazy.
But everybody knows that Hallelujah song because for a while there, you couldn't go on a singing reality show without having to sing that. It seemed like, right? Didn't it seem like everybody, I'm going to sing Hallelujah. Oh, great. You could tell the judges were just thrilled.
They're
really?
Like changing it up a bit.
I can't wait to hear your unique spin on this Leonard Cohen classic.
Hopefully they did give it a unique spin. And anyone who's nostalgic for the old Nintendo game console will be glad to know it's finally making a comeback. The video game maker is releasing a miniature collector's edition of the original Nintendo Entertainment System. Now, this will have 30 built-in games, including Donkey Kong, Super Mario Brothers, and The Legend of Zelda. Chances are you've heard of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but did you know there's one for toys, too?
Oh, yeah, we go through this rigmarole every year. Like, they name something as a toy of the year, right?
Yeah, it's 2 to 3. There's 12 finalists this year, though. Would you like to know some of the finalists? Some of them make sense, and some of them I kind of go, huh?
Well, a few years back, they inducted the stick, I think, as like toy Hall of Fame was a stick.
Yeah. This year, they have the swing.
The swing.
Nice.
All right.
Coloring book. Bubble wrap.
You know, I don't think I'd consider any of those toys.
Wait, did you say
bubble wrap? Right? Bubble wrap is on the list.
I mean, you play with bubble wrap, but I don't think I consider that. Right, for the Toy Hall of Fame.
They have some cool ones on here. Here's some of the ones that actually are, they make
sense. That would be like if you were the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and it was like, and inducted this year, helium. It's just like.
Carbon dioxide. Care Bears. That makes sense.
Yeah. Those were real, like, a craze for a while, weren't they?
Clue.
Care Bear? What are Care Bears?
Care Bears. The cute little bear.
I'm thinking of Teddy Ruxpin. Are they Teddy Ruxpin?
Cameras, they made a TV show out of them, and there's like
they
the
have
sad
the little
there.
Thing on their tum-tum.
I thought those were just cartoons. I didn't know those were toys.
Oh my gosh, yeah, there's tons of them. So Cameras, that makes sense. Little girls love them, boys love them.
How come those weren't already in there?
Yeah. Clue, the game Clue.
What?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay. That made a comeback because of Stranger Things.
It has. I have a lot of my friends that are playing Dungeons and Dragons again, and I don't know if I should be more worried about my friends or the fact that it's making a hardcore comeback now. Fisher-Price, Little People.
I can't believe everything in Stranger Things. The Dungeons and Dragons is what people thought was exciting enough to resurrect.
Oh, yeah. No, I was...
What is Little People?
Little People. The little kids play with them, like age for like three-year-olds, but...
That you like it's a branded toy?
Yes.
And you know what they look like and everything?
Yeah, they're little peoples. And they have like, there's a little fireman. Yeah.
How long have they been around?
Cars.
Probably since the 80s, I would guess.
Okay.
Nerf guns. Nerf. The category of Nerf.
Wait. So not just Nerf guns.
Nerf.
Nerf anything.
They're Nerf in life. This one I'm interested. This isn't in there yet. Pinball.
Oh, wow.
But I mean, if coloring books haven't made it in there yet. Rock'em Sock'em Robots, The Swing, Transformers, and Uno. It seems like they went from like the 1902 toys of the coloring book all the way until the
Swing.
Yeah, the Swing.
The swing. That's stick. Like, hey, you know what? We're inducting into the Toy Hall of Fame. Gravity.
Yeah, that seems.
Rock'em Sock'em Robots. I got a Rock'em Sock'em Robots when I was a kid.
You have one here.
I know, but really? That's like the modern Rock'em Sock'em Robots are made out of like
plastic.
The Rock'em Sock'em Robot that I got when I was a kid was heavy. Like it was made out of metal.
No.
The stuff, you know.
The dangerous one that they would recall now.
Yeah, I guess it's dangerous because you could hit another kid over the head. I don't know what would be dangerous, but right, just made out of more expensive and more durable material is the main difference. But the ones are cheap. It's like it doesn't make any sense when the other guy gets his block knocked off. Like it takes a while.
It's
cheap
too.
And it's horrible. And the original one used to be so. Yeah, you're pressing it. You're hitting him right on the jaw. I'm talking about the modern one that they sell at Toys R Us. You're hitting him on the jaw repeatedly, and it never pops up. And then you stop hitting him, and there it goes up. That's not how the original Rock'em Sock'em Robot was.
Yeah, though I played it. We played it here, Mondo and I, and
it's
I remember
real lame.
It was real hard. And I just kind of gave up after a while and let him win, allegedly. It's Veterans Day, and in honor of that, let's talk about some of the cities that are treating veterans right and some of them who aren't. The personal finance website Wallet Hub just did a study of the best and worst cities for veterans. The rankings are based on things like veteran employment rates, income, total veteran population, and VA facilities. The top 10 cities for veterans are Scottsdale, Arizona.
Okay.
Laredo, Texas.
I'm sorry, what were the criteria again?
There's 16 metrics that they use, so there's a wide variety, but some of the bigger ones were veteran employment rates, income, total veteran population, and VA facilities. So Scottsdale, Arizona. Number 2, Laredo, Texas. Number 3, Irvine, California. Number 4, Plano, Texas. Number 5, Austin, Texas. Number 6, El Paso, Texas.
Really? All right.
Well, that's interesting because there's a story on the front page of the local paper today that says that our congressman says that the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs shows a lack of leadership and that the El Paso VA lags behind on the national level in a bunch of different categories. So,
I'm thinking that probably the total veteran population probably has something to do with it, too.
Right.
There are
We've
a lot of
might have scored high there, but our VA, you know. Well, if you listen to the congressman.
If you want to go to a VA that doesn't take as long as someone, you have to go somewhere where there isn't a large veteran population.
Oh, right. I
My
guess
friend in
the
Cal-
one metric of there are a lot of, there's a big veteran population
Good
might
side.
Have a bad effect on the level of care at the VA.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of my friends, he lives in an area that doesn't have a lot of veterans in it.
And you just go in.
Yeah, in and out. He goes in there. They gave him a Fitbit the other day.
Is it a big city?
He drives about an hour to the veterans area, but he lives in San Francisco, so it's like...
But you live in San Francisco and you got to drive an hour to get to a VA. You mean a town of 3.5 million people doesn't have a Veterans Administration hospital or someplace that a veteran can go? It's like it's so anti-military that you have to drive an hour outside San Francisco to go to a VA. Well, that's what it sounds like.
No. The congestion in that area for him to go to work every day, it's 6 hours.
Wait. He goes to San Francisco or he lives in San Francisco?
He lives.
And then he has to drive an hour to get to the VA.
Yeah.
But compared to
where he works, it's 6 hours. Oh, okay. It's crazy, the traffic and congestion out there. But his VA, he said, is wonderful. He goes there, he's in, he's out, he doesn't have to wait a long time. They'll give him whatever he wants.
The people in San Francisco during Vietnam were out protesting and smoking pot. Yeah. Served in the military, you just walk right in.
Yeah. And then they have the 10 worst cities for veterans. Number 10 was Fort Wayne, Indiana. Number 9, Chicago. 8, Baltimore. 7, Cincinnati. 6, New Jersey. 5, Boston. 4, Memphis. 3, Cleveland. 2, Newark, New Jersey. And number 1, Detroit, Michigan. President Obama had repeatedly described President-elect Donald Trump as unfit to be commander-in-chief. Well, they've met now. As his opinion changed following his first meeting, White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest had a Thursday press briefing.
He said on Monday, Donald Trump is temperamentally unfit to be commander-in-chief, uniquely unqualified. Does he still believe that?
The president's views haven't changed. He stands by what he said on the campaign trail. He had an opportunity to make his argument. He made that argument vigorously. He made that argument in states all across the country. And President Obama is determined to preside over a transition that gives the incoming president the opportunity to get a running start.
Right. We can play nice here, but at the end of the day, Obama still thinks Trump is unfit for the office of president.
Yeah.
I wonder if he said that to him.
He should have just been like, I cannot wait to have you prove me wrong. That would be the best. That's honestly the best thing that he could say to him.
Okay.
Can't wait
to
see.
We don't know that that's exactly what he said.
No. Right. I personally expected them to get in an argument. I wish we could have been there for that. The first face-to-face meeting between President Obama and President-elect Donald Trump seemed to be a cordial one, actually. The two met in the Oval Office of the White House yesterday, and following the meeting, the president...
Well, what are you going to do, call the guy a Kenyan in his own house?
Your house now.
Not yet.
The president-elect said he looks forward to future meetings with him.
Mr. President, it was a great honor being with you, and I look forward to being with you many, many more times in the future. Thank you, sir.
So he said it was a great honor. Also, Trump called Obama a very good man.
Ooh.
I assume he then whispered for a Kenyan.
Trump said the meeting lasted longer than anticipated.
This was a meeting that was going to last for maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and we were just going to get to know each other. We had never met each other. I have great respect.
You're really.
The meeting lasted for almost an hour and a half.
A great respect for a man that I tried for 4 years to convince all of America was illegally in office because he was born in Africa and not the United States. All right.
I love the memes that have come out from that.
What are some of those?
Where it says, they're shaking hands and it's all when your mom makes you make up with your siblings.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was.
Your next appointment's right this way, Mr. President.
Come in. Come on in.
How'd you get in here?
Mr. President, today's the day you're supposed to meet with President-elect Clinton, so...
Okay.
Yeah. Here we go. Have a seat, sir.
You want to be what, Vice President?
Seriously? I'm leaving because it's required by the 22nd Amendment of the United States Constitution.
You're fired.
No. Now, personally for me, if I were able to run for a third term, Michelle would divorce me.
Well, I have to tell you, I hear phenomenal things. I hear your wife is a lovely
woman. No. I'm not going to let her near you.
Ay, ay, ay.
Regardless of what your political preferences are and your policy preferences, there is a certain responsibility and expectation.
Boring.
In terms of how you behave, how you present yourself.
They love me.
Okay. It doesn't mean that you're perfect.
You are stupid.
The Buzz Adams Morning Show podcast is brought to you by Lendio. Lendio is a small business loan specialist searching the web for qualified lenders to fund your next project, payroll, pay for supplies, or pay for vacations.
All right, we're going to get into the rock news with Lisa Sanchez here.
Yay.
In just a few minutes. You guys say you produce something else, you yeah. and Duke.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I haven't heard it yet. Do I need to set it up, or do you want to tell me what it's all about?
Well, you know, Duke and I, we used to be on the morning show with you.
That's
and
right.
we had lots of fun together.
We really did.
Yeah, for years. We had a great time.
But the show starts a little earlier now.
Yeah.
It's a little early for us.
Neither Duke nor Sanchez are what you would call
prompt
early morning people.
Or even on time people.
Prompt or even responsible on some levels.
Today at 4:40, strolling in.
Here's the thing, we're all good friends. But be at work on time, it depends. Yeah, yeah. Since we've been gone. And all you'd ever hear Duke say is, sorry, I woke up late. I'll be in there half past eight. But since we've been gone, we can sleep in for the first time. Sorry we're gone, yeah, yeah. Hit the snooze, we can booze all afternoon. Since we've been gone.
And I would do anything.
Oh,
here it is, and talking smack.
I like that.
I would do anything for buns. Taco Tuesday tunes, dude, I got your back.
Yeah, those are great. I love those.
I would do anything for buns.
Hey, Duke, we're going to need you here by 4 a.m., okay?
But I won't do it. I remember when I left the show the first time. I puked up all the donuts in the can.
Yep.
Cause like, told me I'd be setting a world record. And you said it would be fun.
What?
Ooh, 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 ooh. I'm sorry it was rough last night. Ooh, ooh, ooh. This is why. We're telling you, we're telling you.
Ooh.
We.
We.
Getting back together, cause sleep is better than getting back together.
Like ever.
So, if I were to ask you to come back in next week because we're having so much fun.
Jeez. Well, I'll be here Monday for Brandon.
But as far as you said, that's big news.
You know, I think you already have someone covering, unfortunately.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rock News with Lisa Sanchez.
All right. What's happening in that world rock and roll that we all find so exciting?
Well, I got a lot of rock news and one part that's not rock. It's EDM, but it's still really interesting. 30 Seconds to Mars is teasing fans in their latest Instagram post. They're saying that the six posts don't make sense alone, but together they form a picture of Jared Leto. And each photo also includes the caption, hashtag Mars is coming 2017. It's leading fans to speculate a new album is on the way. It'll be the first since 2013. Okay, Kraftwerk. I don't think you're very familiar with them. Never mind. they may have to cancel.
I had some friends that were huge nerds that were way into Kraftwerk back in the day. Doug Wertman was way into Kraftwerk and used to tell me about how this was the future of music, and maybe he was right.
Well, this is really interesting. They may have to cancel an upcoming show in Buenos Aires because of their synthesizers. The city recently instituted a temporary ban on electronic music events following six deaths at a dance music festival. Officials say they will not allow any more shows until a law is enacted to curb drug-related deaths at concerts. Kraftwerk was scheduled to play at Luna Park Stadium later this month, but the city, they're refusing to issue a permit for the show due to the band's use of synthesizers.
They're saying you use synthesizers, therefore drugs. Therefore, your EDM. Use synthesizers. Therefore, your EDM. I guess they got a ban on Flock of Seagulls.
Right.
And they couldn't have any like
Depeche Mode.
Any 80s, New Order, any 80s music festival. No chance. EDM, therefore drugs.
Gotcha. Yeah, they're dead.
Wow.
And according to Billboard, three songs of Metallica's upcoming 10th album, Hardwired to Self-Destruct, have landed on Billboard's mainstream rock songs. Now we're talking about Atlas Rise at number 22, Moth into Flame at number 6, and Hardwired at number 23. This is the first time that an artist has charted at least three songs on the mainstream rock charts simultaneously since September 2008. Who do you think did it last time?
Taylor Swift.
Metallica.
Oh. Metallica.
Was this? Right. I didn't know which charts we're talking about.
Rock songs.
Rock songs.
It also marks the first time that an act has tripled in the top 25 since Green Day in August 2005. Who says rock's dead? And Travis Barker. He hasn't flown since he was involved in a tragic plane crash back in 2008. He'll still be joining Blink 182 for their UK tour, but people have been asking, "You gonna fly?" Nope, he's using a different method of transportation. He said he's taking a cruise ship. Well, a boat to be exact. It's like 10 days to get over there, he said. He's going to be hitting the high seas on the Queen Mary 2 transatlantic ocean liner, on which he says he's traveled before. He said it gives him time to work out. He'll usually go run an hour and a half a day because their shows are about that long. Then he plays drums for 2 to 3 hours. They'll bring a studio. And then, which is interesting, too, is apparently there's bands on the Queen Mary ship. And so he spends time just working with them and jamming out. Can you believe that? You're a cruise
ship
band. That's
cool. That's cool.
And he's like, "Hey, right. guys, can I play in your band?" Blink 182's UK tour will run from July 3rd to the 19th.
Oh, my God. What if the boat sunk?
Right.
Oh.
And Travis Barker.
He's like, "Trains."
Right. Well, not overseas.
Well, if we're all ready to make America great again, we should start, perhaps, by returning hair metal to its 80s glory. And to do that, Loudwire.com came up with a list of the 30 best hair metal albums. Now, we're not going to go through all 30, but we'll go through the top 10 all with right. you.
So these are the top 10 according to Loudwire, all which right. is a website our company owns.
Yes.
These are the top 10 hair metal albums, not individual songs, but albums
yes.
of all time. All right.
All right. You want to get into number 10?
Sure.
Poison.
Well, what you have to give the name of the album.
Oh,
too.
Look What the Cat Dragged In.
Yeah. Baby, talk
to me. Right. That's pretty big.
Yeah. Was that the one with the really hot chicks on the front?
Yeah, they got a bunch of really hot chicks to pose on the front of a Oh, no, wait a second. That's Poison.
That's the band. They looked good. Number 9, we have Def Leppard with Pyromania. What do you
want? What do you want? Yes, I
do. Let me see.
I don't disagree with that. Top 10.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that either.
Pyromania.
Was like 83?
Had Rock of Ages on
83,
it.
Yes.
It had Photograph. It had Too Late.
Foolin'.
Yeah, that was one that was on there. All right.
All right, let's get into song number 8.
Album.
Or album, sorry. Wasp with Wasp.
That's I Want to Be Somebody. Also, Love Machine was a song that was on that album, and Animal, in parentheses, F Like a Beast, was another one of the well-known songs from that one.
All right. Number 7, Cinderella with Night Songs.
Oh, yeah.
What year was this one?
1986 through Mercury Records.
I believe that one had Nobody's Fool on it, and correct. There was another big song off of that. There was Shake Me, there was Nobody's Fool.
Somebody Save Me.
Yeah, that was the other big hit off of that.
Yeah.
Somebody Save Me.
That song, they also, when they were supporting that song, they were on tour with Bon Jovi at the time, so it was a big, big year for them. We have 1984's Twisted Sister at number 6 with Stay Hungry.
Of course.
More great hair.
Amazing hair.
The
possibly fake hair. No, that was real.
This one was all over MTV.
Oh, yeah.
You know, oh, yeah.
It seemed like not an hour went by that they didn't play the video for We're Not Gonna Take It. And I Wanna Rock was the other song that I remember from that particular.
Rock.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's right.
And wasn't that they were just done after that?
I think so.
I don't think they ever had as big a hit as either one of those.
Yeah.
Sure. Like, and it's been good. Now. At number 5, one of personally my favorite, 1986's Bon Jovi, Slippery When Wet.
Oh, yeah.
darling, you give love a bad name.
Everybody sings along.
This is the first year that I worked at a rock radio station.
Ooh.
And off of this album, you had You Give Love a Bad Name, Living on a Prayer,
Wanted
Dead or Alive, Never Say Goodbye. All of those were on Slippery When Wet.
Does anybody start singing this and would just want to start drinking immediately?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Any of these albums, you're like, shots. No, just me? Okay. Let's get into number four.
Number three, I believe we're at, actually.
No, we haven't done Skid Row.
Okay.
At number four, 1989, Skid Row was Skid Row.
It's pretty big.
I Remember You was like the ballad on that one.
Yeah.
And this was 89. This on the top 10 was the chronologically the latest. It was like at the end of the 90s. So this was 89, but it was still hair metal. Sebastian Bach.
That went into the 90s
like
a little bit.
Like a female supermodel. Absolutely. Yeah. So definitely hair metal.
Bigger than Bon Jovi, though? Oh, man.
Yeah, that's where.
I'm kind of shaky on the rankings there.
Youth Gone Wild was another big hit off of that one.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
All right, and number three, 1984's Rat with Out of the Cellar.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
But bigger than Bon Jovi?
Yeah.
I think they screwed up with Bon Jovi. That should have been higher on the list. How dare
you're right.
Like, how dare you? All right, number two. Now, these, I'm going to agree with the top two. These are pretty good albums.
Okay, because we haven't heard a certain band that I'm just, I mean, it's the epitome of hair.
Maybe it's coming up then.
Okay. All right.
1987 at number two, Def Leppard's Hysteria.
Okay.
Take
it by. Yeah! Two of the top 10. Nice. Yeah.
So this was the album, 87. It had Pour Some Sugar on Me, Armageddon It, Hysteria, Love Bites, Animal, Rocket, and Women, which were all big AOR rock radio hits.
You as our president-elect would say, huge. There's a huge.
All right, so that's Hysteria from Def Leppard.
I'm going to agree with that one.
All right, so now we're getting to the number one hair band album of all time.
And at number one, we're going to go with 1983. It was a great time to be alive. Motley Crue, Shout at the Devil.
Whoa, yeah.
Was that the band that you were thinking of that epitomizes hair metal, or did you have somebody else in mind?
No, I had somebody else in mind.
Really?
Oh.
Van Halen. Oh. Tell me that's not hair metal.
Yeah,
tell me they did not create the genre of hair metal.
You know, but they came along more in the 70s.
Late 70s, but come on. David Lee Roth in spandex with that teased out hair kicking on Panama. Please. How is Van Halen not on this list?
Yeah. All right. I listened to that as a good case.
Yeah.
They created the genre. But David Lee Roth is the lead singer, all, you know, teased out.
But only talking about David Lee Roth, Van Halen. Not
Sammy Hagar. No. Right. No. But I mean, seriously, they created that.
Put some Diver Down on Best Hair Metal Band
Mercy.
Album.
Yeah.
1984 even.
1980, definitely 84. The 1984 album.
But which album would you go with?
Probably 1984. That was Panama, right?
Let me look. Oh yeah. Wait. I'm like, Jump. Oh yeah.
1984 was Jump, wasn't it?
Jump.
Jump was Panama.
On Panama was on it. Yeah. I remember that.
Hot for Teacher.
Yeah.
Come
on. Oh, Hot for freaking Teacher, man.
I bet you.
Seriously.
If we looked at the whole
How are they not
list,
top 10?
They should be in the top 10, absolutely.
Yeah. They should be. That should be two or three.
Instead of having Def Leppard get two albums, they should have thrown in.
No, I think both Def Leppards belong in there.
Push it a little farther. Right. I guess they're going top 30.
Here's another one that I don't hear. GNR. Guns N' Roses, were they hair metal?
I don't think they were considered 80s? Hair metal. They were
really?
Definitely 80s.
Not
but
hair metal.
They weren't considered hair metal. You remember?
They were heavy.
They were,
heavy metal.
They were more rock.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right. Okay. But Van Halen, come on. Van
Halen. Van Halen, probably.
If you're doing
a list,
Van Halen
I bet you
on
anything
hair,
it's probably number 11. is Van Halen, which they screwed up on. I'm still going to agree with that.
Good gosh, please.
All right.
Do you want to know my favorite thing I've ever heard Sebastian Bach say before?
What?
I was watching this thrash metal documentary the other day, and he was saying how he saw the Metallica album. He's like, either those are the ugliest chicks I've ever seen.
The Metallica album?
Yeah, because remember at the time, everybody had the teased hair, the big mascara, and the lipstick. And then he saw Metallica, and he's like, what the hell is this? I'm buying it. And that's why he bought the first Metallica album.
Новости мировой рок-музыки. Rock News with Lisa Sanchez. You're listening to the Buzz Adams Morning Show podcast.
All right, time for the Hollywood Buzz news from Tinseltown and across the world of entertainment. Here's Lisa Sanchez with the Hollywood Buzz. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. Well, sad news coming out of Hollywood today. Yes, that is true. Leonard Cohen died yesterday at the age of 82 years old. He's a legendary songwriter, though he never became very famous as a performer. The song Hallelujah was his best known song.
That's the song most people are going to be able to name. He did a song called Bird on a Wire, which a lot of people cover. Johnny Cash did a really great version of Bird on a Wire by Leonard Cohen, but they're not giving any cause of death. Leonard Cohen was 82 years old.
So. Okay.
Yeah, I think they just announced it on the Facebook page. There's no real information that was given. Mm-hmm. After weathering scandals, including serving 3 months in a Wisconsin jail for allegedly stabbing a man during a bar brawl in 2014, Dustin Diamond is working to repair his image and his relationship with his former Saved by the Bell co-stars. The 39-year-old actor who played Screech Powers on the beloved 1990s sitcom appeared on the Dr. Oz show to apologize, saying, quote, oddly enough, it's doing interviews. It's my best weapon for repairing the damage I was caused by people who took advantage of me.
What?
He also turned to the camera and apologized.
Way to own up.
To his former co-stars.
We had Dustin Diamond about a year ago in the studio.
Yeah.
And he was so completely full of
really? Really?
Right. I asked him, I said, hey, what happened? Have you been to jail yet for that, you know, when you stabbed the guy in the bar fight? And he said, first of all, I didn't stab the guy. He fell onto my knife. And I laughed thinking, okay, he's joking. He took offense that I laughed. He really told me the guy ran into my knife completely full of Dustin.
Wow.
Yeah, in 2009, he wrote a tell-all book in which he claimed his co-stars were having sex with each other and using drugs on the set. Now he's claiming he didn't write the book and there was a ghostwriter who wrote it all for him.
Well, that's also what he said here. It's like all the stuff that he said, you know, he talked about drug abuse and sex and stuff. He said, I didn't actually write all that. It was his autobiography. He said a ghostwriter. So he's kind of saying the same thing.
Yeah, but he still sign off? Like, okay.
But he was full of about a lot of other stuff, too.
Well, in the same $4,000 a night luxury hospital suite that Kim Kardashian delivered Saint in, Blac Chyna has welcomed a baby girl alongside the proud daddy, Rob Kardashian. All right. Do you guys want to guess the crazy celebrity name we're going with this week?
Is there a possibility we can guess it?
There's no K in it. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
What did Rob Kardashian name his baby?
Dream.
Oh, I thought maybe like
Dream.
Half boy or girl? Half Blac Chyna. Mocha Swirl China.
Mocha Swirl.
High Yeller China.
Okay.
It is Dream Renee Kardashian. She tipped the scales at 7 pounds, 5 ounces. Baby Dream is the first child for Kardashian and the second for China, who has a son with her ex Tyga. The baby's name is King. So.
Wait, who has a
Tyga
son?
King?
Wait.
Okay, so this is like the most jacked up thing. Okay, so Kylie Jenner, his Rob Kardashian's little sister, is dating a rapper named Tyga. Tyga's ex-girlfriend and baby mama is Blac Chyna, who is now dating Kylie Jenner's brother, Rob Kardashian.
I'm my own first cousin.
Right.
I'm my own first cousin.
If your family tree is a wreath.
Okay, so that's Kylie Jenner is dating her brother's or her half-brother's baby mama's baby daddy.
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
I think so.
Wow.
One big happy family over there.
No lie.
Imagine Christmas.
Imagine if they gave if Blac Chyna marries Rob Kardashian, then her sister-in-law could also potentially be her son's stepmother.
Good night.
Oh.
That's fun.
Gee, money. I'll just let you do the math because that is, I mean, that's beyond.
I'm trying to figure out like what the relation, like what the one baby is related to the other baby, and I can't even figure it out.
Possibly more than one thing.
Yeah.
Could be half brother and second cousin.
Yeah, his aunt.
First cousin, could be first cousin, second cousin, and possibly aunt.
Possibly. Wow.
All right. Prince Harry, have you heard about this just yet or no? He has been confirmed to be dating an American actress named Meghan Markle in a statement released by the Kensington Palace. Now, the reason that they've announced this is because of the fact that it came out, I think earlier this week, that they were dating. And now people have been just flocking to this woman, throwing money at her ex-boyfriends, former school
to
teacher.
To find out whatever they can about this lady.
Exactly.
American
and
actress.
Something that's definitely not in Prince Harry's style. He's known for being a little bit of a playboy. He released a statement and a letter that says that there have been racial undertones and some of the coverage about Markle, who is biracial, his new girlfriend. Now, apparently, she's asking for time off of work. She has a show on USA Network called Suits. And she said she needs to get her personal affairs in order. According to Page Six, she requested a break from filming and is rumored to be meeting with lawyers to help her handle the newfound fame. She has yet to publicly comment on the relationship, but she has been spotted in London at Kensington Palace and also at the grocery store getting groceries.
Right.
It's really sad, though, to see like the way
so
that
all the
she's
tabloids want anybody to come forward and say anything that they possibly can about this.
Well, and it
sucks those guys are voracious over there.
They caught them. Yeah, they caught them because Prince Harry was in. She lives in Canada where she shoots the show, and they caught him at the house with her. And so they were basically stuck there together. And that's why he finally had to come out and say, yeah, we are dating. Please stop being
horrible
racist toward my girlfriend.
Okay.
Yeah, but he must really love her because he never talks about his girlfriends publicly. Michael Keaton, what?
We'll stop being racist toward your girlfriend if you promise not to dress as a Nazi for any more parties.
Good point.
Michael Keaton, who played the Dark Knight in 1989's Batman and its sequel, Batman Returns, will turn villain in another superhero movie. He will be portraying Vulture in the upcoming Spider-Man movie. This is according to the Marvel Studios president. They're talking to the Toronto Sun. It's called Spider-Man Homecoming. It's set for a 2017 release. Stars Tim Holland in the title role following
Tom.
Tom Holland following his introduction in Captain America Civil War. The cast also will have Danny Glover and Marissa Tomei in it. Marvel is owned by Disney, the parent company. And congratulations to Margaret Cho. She's sober. She's been in a sober living facility for the past 5 months, apparently. This happened when she went to rehab in April after her friend staged an intervention after she suffered an onstage meltdown in March 26. At the time, she walked out of a performance at a New Jersey show and just basically was drunk and had a meltdown. So good job for Margaret Cho. And if you've seen the latest issue of People magazine, you know that Donald Trump is featured prominently on its cover. The headline reads, President Trump, his life, his family, and his astonishing journey to the White House. This comes just a month after they published a story where one of their former reporters says she was sexually assaulted by Trump during a 2005 interview. Now, the woman's account came out in the wake of the Trump-Billy Bush tape debacle, and it ushered in a slew of other women who spoke out for the first time of how he was treated them. When the GOP candidate threatened to sue, the People's editor-in-chief stood by his writer and said that she had a, quote, clear, credible account of what happened to her. Because of this, now a bunch of different celebrities are coming together to say that the magazine should be boycotted because of the fact that they quickly embraced the president-elect after accusing him of sexual assault.
They're all about lifestyles of the rich and famous, though. I mean, that's the magazine.
An accused rapist 1 month is the president-elect the next month. What are you going to do?
The Buzz Adams Morning Show podcast is brought to you by Lindio. If you are a small business and you need a small business loan, think Lindio.
It is showtime, baby. Here we go.
Time for a look at KLAQ Sports. I am Duke Keith, and we will start with the UTEP Miners. They will take on the mighty Florida Atlantic Owls tomorrow. That will be 4 p.m. No television that I can see. Not that anybody would want to watch. I don't know. Miners are 3-6 overall.
Duke took a picture at the last home game, which was, I believe, Houston Baptist, right?
That is correct.
And Duke took a picture, which got a lot of shares and retweets, but it shows the stands at the UTEP game against Houston Baptist. I don't know if that game was on TV, but if it were, do you think...
No.
If a game like that were on, do you think more people would be watching on TV than were in the stands? Because describe the picture. I mean, a lot of people really thought, this is a...
And that's the sad state of the way UTEP Athletics is generally down. Actually, the Miners still in the lead in many Conference USA attendance categories, including football, by average attendance over the year. But yeah, against Houston Baptist, it was particularly sad. I think the announced crowd was somewhere around 16,000 to 17,000. There were maybe 11,000 to 12,000 people there, and they were sitting on the side opposite of the stands where I took the picture, because it would be the east side of the stadium was virtually empty. I know that there were more people there for the Coronado Franklin West Side Bowl, which is.
I got to tell you, I know they count like season tickets, and
they do.
They count season tickets in the attendance.
Giveaways
that maybe or maybe didn't get used. So if they gave away a bunch of tickets, whether you actually showed up to see the game or not, you still get counted as attendance. I don't know. I feel like I'm being lied to every time they announce the attendance, and it's clearly way more. No, not everybody does it, because if you go to Alabama game, every seat is taken. Not everybody does it.
But those are still seats sold. It's just that everybody shows up there. It's very different. And honestly, UTEP is one of the better attended schools for football and basketball in their conference, which is weird. But you see the pictures on television, and you're watching Texas A&M play Alabama.
How about when you
100,000 seats?
I only went to one game this year, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, this is sad. And that was
at the beginning of the season.
I don't remember who we played. It was when I was supposed to get the game ball.
It's a decent sized stadium. It's 51,000 seats. So if you're getting a crowd of 20,000 there, it's going to look more than half empty, which is just sad enough. Anyway, that's tomorrow at 4 p.m. Baltimore last night over Cleveland in NFL football action, 28-7. The Browns remain winless. Tony Romo, healthy enough.
The Miners need to start playing their home games at the Coronado Stadium, because they can probably pack that out.
That's what someone said. Really, I saw that on Twitter.
Really great.
That's really, go to the sack.
Another sellout.
Here at the sack, attendance 12,000. Baltimore over Cleveland 28-7. Tony Romo healthy enough to play for the Cowboys tomorrow against the Steelers, or Sunday. But Dak Prescott, when you're tied for the best record in the league at 7-1, you do not change quarterbacks. NFL's announced that Richard Sherman will be fined over $9,000 for his hit on Bills kicker Dan Carpenter during Monday Night Football.
You mean the one that the guy who got hit, got ejected from the game for?
No, the kicker, no, he went out of the game because he was hurt.
He didn't
get ejected. He got taken out on a stretcher.
Are you kidding? No, they ejected because the medical crew had come out.
If the medical crew comes onto the field, you have to go out for a play.
It was a fourth timeout. No, he got ejected for the game because it was a fourth timeout. The kicker got kicked out of the game. No, you didn't.
No, I just saw him got taken out in a stretcher. I knew he had to come out for at least a play.
Richard Sherman came offside and then hit the kicker. The kicker goes down and the trainers come out on the field. Well, Sherman's got the offsides penalty, sure.
Which should have been roughing the kicker.
But since the trainers came onto the field, the kicker was ejected from the game because of a...
I guess that's a rule now in the NFL. Like if you come... Yeah, and I guess it was because there was a certain amount of time left on the board. I know that. They had like a mandatory runoff.
The officials got a lot of criticism.
They got a huge amount of criticism. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. But he was fined for $9,100+ for that. Conor McGregor and Eddie Alvarez, press conference yesterday getting ready for UFC 205. That is this weekend. It's tomorrow. But McGregor, as usual, was late, as he was against Nate Diaz. Alvarez walked out. And you tell me, is UFC getting a little like the pro wrestling when you hear this stuff?
So this is Eddie Alvarez talking.
Eddie Alvarez,
here, right?
So I'm half Irish.
I keep forgetting that these guys, you know, because they're tough MMA guys, but they're light. They're like in the lightweight division.
Yeah.
They're like tiny little fighting leprechauns, right? So when you hear them talk, and they,
Conor McGregor,
I can't believe you. So when they talk, they sound like jockeys. And I keep forgetting, you know, with the tattoos and the big beards and stuff, it's right, like, oh, they're little midgets.
They're probably like 5'4" or something, yes.
So I'm half Irish, right? I'm half Irish. I'm disappointed in the country of Ireland right now that this is their representative. This is your representative. Where is he? Where is he? You know what? I don't even have an opponent. I'll see you guys tomorrow, okay? Yo, when he comes, you give me a call.
Are you annoyed at all that Conor McGregor can't make it here on time? Speaking of the devil.
Here he is. Sorry I'm late. I just don't give a f-.
Was that Conor McGregor
at the last?
Right. They're both talk. I mean, they're both so tiny. They both just sound like Smurfs talking. I can't tell the difference. You know,
yes, I'm late. I'm gonna kick your ass.
Well, one's got an Irish accent, and the other's got like a New Jersey accent.
What's so funny, Barbara Cola?
I'm from Ireland. Well, I'm
from Ireland. I'm gonna
I'll show you. I'm tough.
They can kick your ass, you guys.
I weigh 170 pounds.
But the best part to me is like the guy who's like, it's like the professional wrestling announcers where they're, are you disappointed, Conor McGregor? Of course he's disappointed. He just expressed his disappointment, but they're just trying to play it up. Mm-hmm. And suddenly Conor McGregor comes out. Like, you don't think he was actually there in the back the whole time?
I don't follow MMA. Well, that's what it's called.
Is it UFC? It's mixed martial arts, but the parent body is UFC. And that is a look at sports for KLAQ. I'm Duke Keith. That will
do. So here's that play. It was Richard Sherman comes offside, and he's so offside that he goes ahead and tries to block the kick.
He blocks the kick.
But he runs into the punter. Right. But you hear the punter, the kicker, rather.
Yeah. Will be enforced on number 25. Trainers came onto the field to attend kicker number 2. This will be a charged fourth timeout for Buffalo. Number 2 will have to leave the game.
My goodness.
So the kicker,
astounding.
The kicker
gets thrown out,
walloped, and then he gets kicked out of the game.
Which means they can't try the field goal, or they're going to have somebody else try the field goal.
Oh, no, they get a tight end or somebody to try and kick it, right? They just can't have him try to kick it.
No.
The players are going to the locker room. They think it's halftime.
The half is not over.
That's the referee. Hey, come back, y'all. We're not done yet. That's hilarious. Now, I watched the highlights. I didn't know that they ejected the kicker.
They ejected the
kicker. By rule.
Yeah.
Because they had to charge the fourth time out to it. And he was obviously hurt. He wasn't faking.
I guess.
I think that's the reason that rule is there.
To keep him from
faking. To keep him from faking it. And there is like a mandatory runoff of the clock. But if the guy's legitimately hurt.
You know, the guy sitting there writhing.
Should have been roughing the kicker call.
Because he just got hit by Richard freaking Sherman.
Right.
And the trainer. What are they supposed to do? Right, we can't go on the field. He's just going to have to tough it out because it'll be a fourth time. It'll be a fourth charge timeout.
So bad, man.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. For more, head to buzzadamshow.com.